googlemotherfuckers.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the Call to Bean, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Stephen, I was thinking about this. You've been peddling fake news and alternative facts for years. Do you feel this new administration is infringing on your territory?
I do.
Many of these kinds of developments begin to occur in many forms at once, at very high speeds. Then it becomes easy to perceive the pattern.
I think real fake news is being transparent that you're being fake. What people are describing as fake news now is just plain lying. You know, you create a complete fraudulent story without ever telling your audience that it is a fraudulent story. There's nothing artful or beneficial about that. It's just lying. It's just one of the vices.
When things happen relatively slowly, it's like still shots on a film. If you look at them one at a time, it's very slow. You don't see very much change. But project them at a reasonable speed, and the pattern of development becomes perfectly evident.
The Trump administration really has been stealing my thing. I mean, I actually said this on the show just last night, that I invented the over-the-top television personality who desperately wants to be loved, is willing to accept emotion over fact, and has a pet eagle. And Donald Trump put Iran on notice this week. I used to have an on-notice board where I would put things on notice, like the black hole at the center of the universe, or Iran, or anybody who upset me.
We are now living in a world where things change so rapidly that anybody can spot the configuration, the pattern of change. And we're living increasingly in a world of pattern recognition.
The speed at which the story would change was one of the most startling aspects of it to me. It used to be you wanted to do a show every night, so you wouldn't leave any of the berries on the bush, if you know what I mean. You could sort of talk about everything that happened today, and then tomorrow you'd have a fresh batch of berries to talk about. But then the pace of the campaign made it, you wanted a morning batch of scripts and an afternoon batch of scripts to see how the story had changed in the last few hours. By the end of this presidential campaign, and right now, the pace has somehow accelerated even more, as opposed to the power of executive orders. We have to have somebody in our writer's room looking at the news every minute before the show goes up to make sure that the big story hasn't completely changed moments before I go to record my show. And because I'm not really news, I've never had to work at this pace. I can't imagine what the pace is for actual news people who have to break the story or have to explain the story in some sort of in-depth, because we've gone from, like, go-kart to NASCAR.
Instead of just classified and isolated items, the whole speed-up has tended to make everything much more intelligible and understandable than in the past.
It's like the superpositioning of a quantum particle. You don't know where the news is at any given moment. There's such an enormous amount of uncertainty about what the story is or what the story means. There's so much chaos surrounding the news cycle, which I think is probably only to the benefit of the person who is generating the chaos, which is the president and his team, so that they can be the ultimate arbiters of the truth, because only they will know what is real or not. They will only know whether the chaos is planned or whether it is an art form being used to destabilize our view of reality, so they can establish their own reality with their own will towards power.
Michael McHaver.
Hey, hi!
Now that everybody's feeling nice and uncomfortable. so many funny noises coming from the crowd, like over here, just like grunting and stuff. You guys should laugh. There you go. Give it up for yourselves, everybody. That was a really awkward silence, so I'm just trying to break it up. This lady over here was loving that last set. I heard you cracking up over there. All right, guys, give it up for your next comedian coming up to the stage, the very funny Ian Ellis.
Yay!
Woo!
Yeah.
Somebody's really excited.
Yeah.
Guys, don't be so mean to Dilbert. That dude's really funny. It's like super evil Napoleon Dynamite. This is great. Suck my dick! I'm sorry, Mike. He hates that shit. He's got his whole life. There's a lot of cutie pies here tonight. That's exciting. I know Mike's like a sham wild to lady parts. But hopefully everybody doesn't. There was a girl bending over by the here's where I get to be a creep. She was stretching. And she's like, I used to be a gymnast. So that's pretty hot. I figured I should tell you guys that I'm married. I'm completely off the market, in case you were thinking about slumming it. Thinking maybe I could be somebody's mistake tonight.
Well, fuck.
If you're really into the movie Shrek, I might be for you. Those were the good old days, though. Now I gotta go home to my wife and wake her up. And feel like you're stuck with me. They're fighting over who gets to try and seduce me. You got the last one. I'm trying to give this pussy to charity. He might be a shooter. Let's prevent him. Let's prevent some shit. I'll buy all your drinks if you sleep with Michael tonight. Dude could have a mule. You don't know what that dick looks like. You might have the candy stick. It could be the greatest ride of your life. Close your eyes and think about Channing Tatum. Channing wishes he had a big old dick like Mike. That's why he walks around like this. He's hard as shit all the time. Big old Dick Dilbert. Big Dick Dilbert, that's what they call him. Very popular blind widow. Anyway. And the deaf. So. I have a lot of nostalgia. In case you couldn't tell by my old man sweater and my dad hat. Not for history. I think history stinks. Some people are like, make the country great again. Like when? Before AOL, you had to pay for porn. Like recent history, fuck that shit. Dudes that were kings, ruled over nations of men, they didn't have indoor plumbing. You could take a shower, sit on the toilet, jerk off to free porn, eat a cheeseburger. Fuck history. Time is now. Play some Angry Birds with my dick out. History, like, I used to think I was smart. Like, the world made sense. Now, I don't know what I think I'm fucking retarded. People are just humoring me. Like, just let him talk. He'll explode if you talk to him about it.
Woo!
History's a weird one, because, like, I went to school for anthropology, and I studied all that shit, and I knew about Egypt and history, and now they think aliens did all that shit. And fuck, that wasn't in any of my classes. But it's everything on the History Channel. If the aliens helped out, they made all this amazing shit, didn't show them how to make toilets. That's some slavery shit. Like, they didn't give a fuck about us. We should be scared if they come back. Doesn't sound friendly. Pooping is a basic necessity. If you're going to advance some people, show them how to poop properly. Fuck, that's a life. I didn't even get to nothing. I am retarded.
I love you.
Dude. Woo! Fuck you, I'm getting at least one more joke off before I die.
Do yourself, homie.
I hate Trump. Like, I don't really understand it, because he's like, we gotta drain the swamp. But his draining the swamp is like, let's get rid of all these millionaires and replace them with billionaires, because they're moral, right? It's like, no, it's not an Ayn Rand novel. I wanted to talk about the news tonight. Like, I just wish I could say to the liberals, like, you can't co-opt evil. You never slavery a good cause. That's not something you could do. Never mind, this wasn't my night to talk about this shit. All right, my name's Ian Ellis. I'll have you good night.
Woo! Yeah. Give it up for Ian Ellis, everybody. I hate when that happens, when I have jokes to tell, but I spend too much time talking about Michael McCabe's dick. That's happened to me before, too. It's annoying. But the good thing is, Michael McCabe has a new stage name. Was it Big Dick Dilbert? Yeah. Big Dick Dilbert. Give it up for Big Dick Dilbert.
Yeah.
Give it up for Ian Ellis. Awesome. All right, guys, your next comedian.
Will you hold that? We're putting you in charge. So this is Michael. You want to let's do your shout outs. What's your Twitter?
It's private.
You nerd. How are you ever gonna get a follow?
I can't.
Because of your job.
Yep.
So I meant to talk about the news tonight. Instead I just started roasting you the whole time, which I apologize about. Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was hilarious.
Okay. You don't hate me for it?
No. Because it's kind of really funny at the end.
So I fucked up because my whole podcast tonight is that I was trying to talk about the news. Hold on a second. Trying to talk about the news. I got all this stuff put together and I didn't do my fucking jokes about the news. My podcast doesn't make any fucking sense. My point was, I was going to say, like, the news doesn't make sense to me anymore. Because, like, we don't focus on policies. Instead, we focus on the players. Like, I don't know what they're voting about. I just know somebody has dick pics on Twitter. Somebody has a secret gay son. And somebody's having seizures. Like, and I feel like if people knew the issue, they could go like, oh, I'm getting screwed. Don't let them do that. But we don't get to make that decision because we're focused on people. This is worse than bombing. I'm just going to have you mean bug me. Doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican, it's who we're going to hold accountable. I want to talk about how I wish the media would find their voice already. Like, discernment doesn't follow trends. Who cares if they won't talk to you? Fuck them. Just tell the truth. That's your job. I appreciate your humor laughing at me.
No, I think you think that's hilarious.
Well, my thing with the news is I'm like, you're supposed to be our advocate. Like, being a regular person stinks. You have fucking bills and birthdays and cars break down. It's like, you don't have time for this shit. And when they fuck it up, it's like... I was going to talk about how they're competing for attention. Because it's like, policy's not sexy. Like, how do you make that more interesting than Facebook? And like, it stinks that there's clickbait. But clickbait is like, we're trying to trick you into reading. That's how bad it is. That's how much we don't give a fuck. They're playing like Trump. Every notification I get is Trump has a new draft pick. I was like, is he setting up Congress or a football team? Anytime I hear like a budget hasn't been passed, I'm like, can we fire those motherfuckers tonight? Can we do that? Because this is ridiculous. Taxes are not allowed to be late. Get your shit together. You didn't know the budget was coming? You forgot? Oh, we got to do that this year, too? I thought we did that last year. Yeah, oh, they still need money? There's still kids that need teaching? Oh, yeah, let's get on that. I always just assume it's, like, held up. Because these evil motherfuckers haven't figured out how to get their money or their leverage yet. Like, they're still trying to figure out how to exploit the budget before they can pass it. It's hard, because it's like, how do you exploit kids needing how to learn? Like, they're not even old enough to vote. So you gotta just be trying to drain them of money like a fucking vampire. It's terrible. Get it together. Pass the budget. I'm tired of school shutting down. It's almost like news has a mental illness at this point. I think I have some medicine. I have some, like, three things I think might help save the world. First one is, I just want everybody to know, you gotta realize you can't co-opt evil. It doesn't work. Nobody ever slavery to good cause. It's not what good guys do. You gotta actually play by the rules. Second is, I really wish we could stay focused on things like the issues and justice instead of the people. Because it's not about Democrat or Republican or religion and science. It's about who are we gonna hold accountable. Because if the answer is nobody, then none of our decisions mattered anyway. And finally, I'd like to end by just saying to the media, like, I really wish you guys have been around a long time. You need to find your voice, okay?
You're not supposed to be part of their strategy. Discernment doesn't follow trends. Give the facts room to exist. Have some courage. They're not supposed to like you. Like, being an average person stinks. Alright, you got low wages and bills. You're just trying to make sure your kids don't get too messed up. And should they go to college, can you afford it? Are you upside down in your house? And then someone gets cancer and a tire goes flat. It stinks being a regular person. And you got a lot of stuff to worry about. And I don't have time to sort through the bullshit that's supposed to be what your job is. So just do your job. Just play your position. Stop trying to be famous, people, and just play your position. That's my final analysis on the news. All right.
The present is only faced in any generation by the artist. The present, the artist is prepared to study the present as his material because it is the area of challenge to the whole sensory life, and therefore it's anti-utopian. It's a world of anti-values. And the artist who comes in contact with the present produces an avant-garde image that is terrifying to the contemporaries.
If the natural conversation is always about politics, then politicians are the entertainment.
Trump's relationship with the truth is going to be of profound importance going forward, because any policy discussion has to begin with a shared sense of reality, and Trump's reality can change within a single sentence.
As the volume of information increases on legitimate news sources, as it's turned into a fire hose, they want someone to curate the day for them.
Right.
And because there's no way, you used to be able to read the morning paper and the afternoon paper and you knew the same as everybody else. But now as the volume of it increases, it's important that somebody curate it for you.
But you see, any form, when pushed to its limits, always reverses its characteristics, and information overload is a nightmare.
A particular news story, like, absolutely comedically dead to rights. Like, we've got to deconstruct it and reconstruct it and all the jokes. And this has happened to us many times since the president has taken the oath of office, is that we'll get to the moment to do the show and I'll look at it and go, we can't do this now. We can't do this just because of what happened in the last few hours. And everything has to be thrown away, which I know in actual journalism is probably very common. But for what I do, it's new. You can usually ride the momentum of a particular news cycle enough to get you to the next crop the next day. It's just happening too fast now.
Violence is the quest for group or private identity. Without that interface, without that roughhouse, without that encounter with the world, you don't get an effect.
Since comedy always has to have a point of view, I mean, I don't think any joke can be considered neutral, no matter how, you know, basic or purient it is. Like, even slipping on a banana peel doesn't have a neutrality to it, because it's only funny if a rich man slips on the banana peel. In keeping with the fact that increasingly our news sources are punditry and not fact, that made our work closer to what you see on the news, and the news closer to what we do, and the 24-hour news cycle itself actually has led to less information and more opinion, because there's only so much news to go around, but you can say what it means or your opinion about it without adding $1 to the bottom line of a news channel. So that's a really long way of saying that Americans digest their news through late night comedy now, not just me, but everybody pretty much, because cable news specifically has become closer to entertainment. And the line was not blurred by us. It was blurred by cable news telling us the same amount, but spreading it out over 24 hours with opinion and graphics. The news of the day is the raw material with which you're making jokes. You care about the news and you care about comedy, but you never lose sight of the fact that it is comedy, or else people should just watch the news. For my show, there was an added layer of false construction of personality, that we would deconstruct the news like The Daily Show did in order to find opportunities for the jokes or the places to sort of make fun or mock hypocritical behavior. For my show, we would sort of do half as much deconstruction and then falsely reconstruct the behavior of a pundit on top of it. So there were slightly different games. Across all of these shows, since the very beginning of these shows, they've been about what's happening on a daily basis in America. It's about, shows always reflect the sort of the country itself. Right now, all topicality is political because the biggest story possible is Donald Trump. These shows aren't always political, so they're not always partisan, but they're always topical. The more the big story is not politics, the less partisan any show may seem. Partisan only comes in if the topical story is a pure political story.
So tonight, we thought it would be useful to try and answer four basic questions. How did we get a pathological liar in the White House? Where are his lies coming from? Why do so many people believe him? And what can we possibly do about it?
First up, she is president and CEO of the polling company and campaign manager for you-know-who, Mr. Donald Trump. We thank her for being here. Kellyanne Conway is joining us.
Secretary of State and set up a private server, which is why we're having this entire conversation.
Right, you're not answering
the
question.
Law lied about it. I am answering it.
Kellyanne, that's not what I asked. No one is questioning the victory.
The FBI
Before
and other
we go
agencies,
off on that track, said that... Can I just keep us on the rails here for just a second?
Because you did not answer the question.
He thought,
what
oh, no, no,
did
no,
he
that's
say?
Very
what, that's the
he
question.
Told
What's
Vladimir
the answer?
Putin.
And you did not answer the question. I know you like to pivot. I get it.
And I want you to have the... This is actually real news.
I think that nothing you're saying is false on that. I just think it's a distraction from
Let's
the main issue.
Let's talk about Meryl Streep, by the way.
Okay, again, you're not answering the question. You did not answer the question.
Can you answer it now? I'll let you complete it the way you want. Is the answer going to come?
You can't answer this question.
I think that Russia wanted to...
I'll ask you a third time.
You can't stick to what we're talking about now. You have a 14% approval rating.
All I'm looking for is an answer to a simple question.
And Secretary Clinton has suggested they would like to do it.
I guess what you still haven't answered, though.
I want to go back to a question that you continue to deflect.
All right, Kellyanne, we're going to have to leave it there.
Congress.
All right, I'm
Many
sorry,
governorships and senators.
We've run out of time.
Thanks for having me. Hold on.
You're so good at what you do.
As are you. That's it, you're so good.
I'm so verklempt.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. I don't think you can prove those numbers one way or the other. There's no way to really quantify crowds. We all know that. You can laugh at me all you want. I'll just ignore it. I'm bigger than that.
All right. It's really so stupid.
Come on. I'll just ignore it. I'm bigger than that.
Come on. It's torture.
Hey, what's happening? This is Ian Ellis. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Please write about it, tweet about it, put it on Facebook. If you like what I'm doing, you're also going to like my dude, Felonious Monk. He's on The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore, and he has a YouTube channel called Stop It B. Go check those out. And my girl, Kimberly Marion, KB Marion, she was my co-host on the Laugh Factory episodes, my partner in crime. She has a YouTube channel called Unpopular Truths. It's The Ms. Khalifa. Or just search Kimberly Marion, Unpopular Truth. It's about 7 episodes up. Here's the audio from one of my favorite episodes. I just want you to check it out. And if you like it, please subscribe. Facebook about it. Share it. Repeat it. Let people know. KB Marion. She's the shit. All right, Mike.
Peace.
Shout out to Leroy. And free Wi-Fi. Gotta get that dude out. He locked up.
Unpopular truth. Prostitution should be legal already. Why haven't we legalized prostitution yet? Everything that we do, we actually sell the idea of sex. Hey, unpopular truth. It's your pussy if you want to sell it, why aren't you allowed to sell it? Seriously. Because we can sell everything up to the sexual act, but then when people want to go out and buy pussy, it's a problem. You get a motherfucker all aroused. And in the moment that they decide to stop using their right or left hand to please themselves, or a toy to please themselves, and they actually want the real shit, then they can't do it. What kind of bullshit is that? You can show people having intercourse, okay? You can show people touching, groping, kissing. You can sell a perfume with a half-naked woman in a commercial. You are selling the idea of sex. But when you're like, hey, that looks really good, let me go get some, you can't buy you none. Hey, maybe it's somebody's best skill. Think about it. There are some people who are terrible fuckers. Why can't a good fucker make a living off of it? I'm saying go with your strengths. Like, if you're good at sucking a dick, then why shouldn't you be able to make money off of it? If I saw a commercial for some fucking Heineken and I couldn't go out and buy a Heineken, I don't want to see a commercial for fucking Heineken. Huh? You look cool, suave, you're like, oh, I'm going to go get me that type of beer. And people can actually go out and buy that type of beer. Why can't you go out and buy you a brunette pussy? I'm asking. I just want to know. I don't think that's fair. We should be able to legalize pussy.